Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I spoke with you about God's word concerning capital punishment and the death penalty. How that was ordained of God in the patriarchal period, Genesis chapter 9, and in the Mosaic period, the law of Moses, in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, thou shalt not murder or thou shalt not kill. And then we found even in the New Testament, though it is not spoken of directly, both Jesus and Paul implied that the Roman government has the right to put to death. Both Jesus and Paul, and in Romans chapter 13, Paul is clear and more specific about civil government being a minister of God, and it bears not the sword in vain. So both testaments show that the death penalty and capital punishment, putting to death, is authorized by God, sanctioned by God, and encouraged. And we're going to see this morning on the program why. Friends, I'm glad that you have joined us on the program, and I bring these matters up because we live in a culture of death in the sense of murdering people, the unborn in abortion, the newborn, infanticide, the elderly, and others. We live in a culture of death. Suicide, taking your own life, taking the lives of others. And we need to be reminded of the sanctity and the importance of life. In Genesis chapter 1, we're made in the image of God. Genesis 9, James 3, we're made in the image of God. We're not just an it or a thing or a highly evolved animal. We are a person made in the image of God. All of us, male and female, unborn, newborn, all the way up until the point of death, we are made in the image of God. And our soul continues on after death. That's how grand and glorious the personhood of an individual is. It doesn't continue on after death for an animal, but it does for man. And so I speak on these matters last week and this week to remind us of that. And with regard to leadership in this nation, we should never support any leader that does not value human life. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 8, regarding some of those who are in hell, it's not an exhaustive list, but who is going to be in hellfire? But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Murderers. God takes murder very seriously. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the law is made for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, abusers of themselves with men, homosexuals, men stealers, for liars, false swearers, if any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine. Murderers. And it's a sin, and it's wrong. And we've got to get back to what God's word has to say about that. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, God is against all unrighteousness. His wrath will be displayed against all unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What are some of those things? Romans 1, 29. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and so forth. God's wrath is revealed against these things. It's wrong. And so one thing that he does is he says the murderer, and we found even in the Old Testament, there were some other causes, a long list of causes for being put to death. I'm focusing on murder here. To show an obvious act that is to be punished by the death penalty. Friends, murderers are going to end up in hellfire unless they repent. Any man or woman guilty of that sin is going to burn for eternity in hellfire unless they repent and obey the gospel and have that sin washed away in baptism. They're going to burn in hellfire. Now, a murderer can be forgiven. Any sin and all sinners can be forgiven through the gospel of Christ, yes. But if a person chooses not to do that, they're going to burn in hellfire. We've got to get back to understanding that murdering and taking someone's life is a serious thing. And when a doctor puts instruments into a mother and murders that baby, are they thinking about what they're doing and what's going to happen to them for all eternity? Many of them are not. It's serious. But it's been going on for so long now that it's just casual. It's just ordinary. It's just something you do. Go in, murder a child, walk out the same day, go out to dinner that night. And the doctors that are engaged in this and complicit in this, and anybody else that's a part of this murder process, has got their day coming. I hope they do repent and obey the gospel. I don't want them to be lost, but many of them will be. And Paul and John in the book of Revelation let us know that there's going to be murderers in hell. So, this morning on the program, last week, we looked at the biblical information in both the Old and New Testament that God ordains capital punishment and putting to death. This morning on the program, I want to look at some arguments that people make regarding capital punishment, and then I want to talk about some consequences of failing to uphold capital punishment. So let's look at some arguments based upon human reasoning. One that I hear a lot is that capital punishment doesn't work. It doesn't deter any crime. Well, it's true that under the present system, capital punishment may not deter a crime. That's true, if the system is not working properly. But if it's administered properly, it does a very effective job. Remember, the ineffectiveness of something is not an argument against capital punishment. It's an argument against the ineffectiveness of something. You need to change the effectiveness of something. It's not an argument against the act itself. There's a lot of times people do things wrong. The answer is not to get rid of the whole thing, but to correct the specific way in which they're doing something. And it's the same with capital punishment. And let's look at a few passages in Deuteronomy to remind us that when this was done, when it was done properly in a timely fashion, and we will be getting to Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11 in just a minute, but when it's done in a timely fashion, when it's done properly, it's very effective. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 5, talking about the false prophet, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken rebellion against Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to draw you aside out of the way which Jehovah thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. When you allow evil, and murder is evil, again, this is an example of a false prophet, and we'll look at some other examples. But in our society today, let's just take the example of murder. That's evil, and that has to be removed. When you don't remove that, that person often engages in the same thing when he's let out of prison. He goes on to murder others and hurt other people. His influence in prison, he tells other people how to murder. He talks with other people about how to do bad things. You've got to cut off that evil from the midst of thee. This phrase, to put away the evil from the midst of thee, is used in these following passages. But we also get another benefit from it. Turn to Deuteronomy 17 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 17, 12. And the man that doeth presumptuously and not hearkening unto the priest that stands to minister before Jehovah thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. We just saw that. But look at this. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. That's the whole point. It's a deterrent. It should put fear in the lives of individuals. That's our problem today. There's no fear or teeth in the law. There are many people doing things today who know that there's not going to be a punishment. And some states have gotten rid of cash bail, where in order to get out of jail on the day that you commit a crime, you've got to put up some bail, like that has always been the case. Some states have gotten rid of that, and so the person is back out on the street the same day, the next day at the most. They go right back to doing it. It's not even a slap on the hand anymore. So the problem is not that capital punishment does not work. The problem is the system that revolves around that, not the justice system. I call it the injustice system that we currently have in many places. That is the problem. And even if it's not capital punishment, even if it's not putting someone to death, the various other lesser punishments than death, they are not being administered properly. And so, yes, yeah, crime continues on. But it's not because of capital punishment per se. It's the ineffectiveness of the implementation of it that is wrong. And individuals are causing that, not the principle itself. This is the matter of bearing a false witness, Deuteronomy 19. Can you imagine putting false witnesses to death? Then shall you do unto him as he thought to do unto his brother, so thou shalt put away the evil from the midst of thee. And those that remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil in the midst of thee. And then verse 21, and I'm going to bring this up again, Deuteronomy 19:21, and thine eyes shall not pity life, shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That's our problem, and I'll talk about that later. People can hear it and see it and fear, and henceforth commit no more any such evil. It sends a message, if you do X, you're going to get Y. And if every time a person that does X gets Y, people are going to say, I'm not going to do X anymore, because I'm going to get Y, just like everybody else. And so we've got to get back to that, and it will indeed work. You find the same thing in Deuteronomy 21, verse 21, chapter 22, verse 22, chapter 24, verse 7. Put away the evil from the midst of thee. So, its ineffectiveness is not an argument against the act itself. There are other things that have to be considered, and that is the implementation of it. And when there's a breakdown there, there's a problem. When somebody says capital punishment doesn't work, my response is, who says? Man says that, not God. God says it works. We've just read that. It works. God implemented it. He knows. And by the way, on these arguments that we're talking about this morning on the program, keep in mind that these are man's arguments. My answer to many of them is, who says? Well, of course man says this and man says that. We're interested today in what God says. Let the Bible speak program. I don't care about the opinions of men. What does God say? God says it works. Here's another one. Capital punishment may execute an innocent person. That's very rare. There have been people on death row. We're finding out now that we can go back and do DNA testing. We're finding out in a very few cases that innocent people have been on death row and they've been let out once they are exonerated. And that's been due, as I've said, to new technology and DNA testing and so forth. But that's not the fault of capital punishment, the penalty. That's the fault of the court system or the judicial system or an older system that did not have the modern technology that it does today. And our judicial system, for the most part, is trying to match modern technology. And I'm glad that we have modern technology to compare blood and DNA and things like that. There are going to be innocent people that died. Jesus was innocent and he was put to death. And Stephen was innocent and he was put to death. Innocent people can wrongly be put to death. Nobody argues that. But that's not an argument to get rid of a penalty. A penalty is one thing. How the courts and the judicial system arrived at giving that penalty to somebody is a completely different thing. You don't get rid of the penalty because the system made some mistakes. In fact, we bend over backwards in our judicial system. We have court case after court case, and we have appeals, and we have retrials, and we do everything possible to give everybody the 100% full benefit of the doubt on everything. We do not hastily rush to judgment. In fact, in many cases, it's the opposite. The justice system drags its feet so long that sometimes people are never punished. But of course, if you found a very rare case of an innocent person being put to death, then you need to turn your attention toward the judicial system, not the penalty itself. Capital punishment is cruel and unusual punishment. Well, who says? Well, man says, but not God. We don't stone people today as they did in Bible times. In fact, we make the death penalty something where a person hardly has to feel anything. A few years ago, they were put in the electric chair. And that was a very shocking, no pun intended, punishment. It was very shocking and painful. But now we have a series of about four different drugs that are put into a person's arm that slowly puts them to sleep, and then this one, and then this drug is put in, and that drug. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm just simply saying we're even a far way from stoning, which would be very painful, or the electric chair, and yet some people say, well, we shouldn't have it. But that's beside the point. God says that putting to death is what he wants for the person who has committed these crimes. Here's another one. It's very popular. Why kill people to show that killing is wrong? And that sounds pretty good on the surface. If you're trying to get rid of killing people, it's not going to help by killing the person who killed somebody. This is similar to the liberal argument that spanking children is wrong because it teaches children to hit other people. I've heard that for years. And the Proverbs talk about the importance of spanking a child. And I was spanked as a child, and it not one time did it ever teach me to go out and hit anybody else. The reason is, there's a few reasons. First of all, the motive behind the two are different. And the lessons behind the two are different. And so when you go out and murder someone, you have an evil or wrong motive. But when you sit through a court case and you hear that you have taken innocent life, and you hear the motive for you being put to death, it's completely different. Same thing with spanking a child. It's very controlled. There are lessons with it. This is why you're getting this. This is why you're being punished. The child learns this is not just someone coming up slapping me and hitting me indiscriminately. There's a purpose and a motive and a lesson behind this. We all know the differences in the two. It's just a lame argument, and it sounds really good, but it's not logical. And so it's very important. Just think about it for a minute. Let's say we got rid of the death penalty and we said, well, I think a person should just be put in jail. Well, wouldn't that teach confining people? People are going to go out and confine other people and put them in a room and not let them out if you put someone in jail. See, it works for that too. Whatever little punishment you want, whatever that is, I can find where somebody would go out and do something similar. So you should stop it. It just doesn't make sense. We know that there are different motives. There are different reasons. There are different results. One is uncontrolled. The other is very controlled. And it produces different results. The person who administers capital punishment is guilty of murder. No, they're not. In Romans 13, they're described as the minister of God for good. The minister of God for good. We've got to get back to describing situations and things in the way God describes it, not in the way we think or feel. I don't believe we have a right to take another man's life. It's not up to you. It's not up to what you believe or what you feel or what I believe or what I feel. What does the scripture say? And that's true with any matter in life. We've gotten off on what people think and feel, and that's why we're seeing the rampant lawlessness going on in our country today. We've got to get back to what God's word says, not what we feel. Capital punishment cannot restore the lost life of the victim. Well, that's true. If I go out and murder somebody, that person cannot be brought back from the dead. But listen, neither can any other form of punishment bring that person back from the dead. You can put me in jail for all my life. That doesn't bring the person back from the dead. So let's get rid of incarceration. Whatever punishment you want to give for murder, it's not going to bring the person back from the dead. So you might as well get rid of all forms of punishment if your argument is sound. Of course it's not sound. We don't need to get rid of the death penalty. We don't even need to get rid of lesser punishments. Should we do away with all punishment? And that's really what some people are shooting for in this society. Absolutely. Absolutely no punishment. Years ago, it was getting rid of the death penalty. I'm hearing today, getting rid of a lot of other things. Cash bail, time in jail. We're getting rid of all punishments. And it's that slow, incremental, downward spiral. 2 Timothy 3, evil men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's a growing process, and it's getting out of hand. It always starts with, I just want to get rid of such and such, and now it has grown into a much larger monster. So, there's all these human arguments and these human reasonings. I've just touched the surface. There's others. But I want to talk a little bit about the consequences of failing to use capital punishment. Number one, crime will increase. Crime will increase. And that's what we're seeing today. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. When we drag our feet and when we don't engage in swift punishment, all it does is it causes people to be more and more evil. I wish everybody would read Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Clearly, when Solomon wrote this, there was the potential of dragging your feet and not executing judgment speedily, even in his day. What does it cause? The hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. And that's what goes on. And so we drag it on, and a person sits in prison for years and years, sits on death row at taxpayers' expense for years and years and decades and decades. Finally, in some states, they might finally be put to death after decades. No wonder there's no deterrence. It's not because the death penalty doesn't deter. It's the process that's surrounding the death penalty that is not done right. And even 1,000 years before the time of Christ, Solomon was talking about that. That's what's causing the problem. You do it swift and speedily, it'll put a stop to any foolishness quickly. The same thing with punishment in a local congregation, what we call church discipline. The same thing with punishment in the family. But when it drags on and drags out, there's no deterrence. We've got to get back to the Bible way. Number two, right and wrong is turned upside down. And it's not a justice system anymore. It's an injustice system. Nobody cares about the victims. Nobody cares about the families of the dead slain. Everybody just cares about the evildoer. Psalms 15 and verse 4. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honor them that fear Jehovah. We have honored the reprobate, and we have dishonored them that fear the Lord. It gets all turned upside down. We pity the evildoer. In Psalm 19:21, Moses wrote in his law, not to pity the evildoer. That's the problem. There is so much pity for the evildoer. Nobody pities the innocent and the person who was taken from among us. Nobody pities them. We just pity the evildoer. It's all turned upside down. God sends a woe against those who take away justice. Isaiah 5:20-23 and Jeremiah 48:10. Woe to them who pervert justice. And we've got that going on in our country and around the world. And we've got to get back to God's word. It's not about, friends, sentiments and feelings and emotions and what we think and what we feel. It has to do with judgments based on reason and sober thinking from God's word. Murderers spend their life in hell if they are not rehabilitated through repentance and obedience to the gospel. It's a serious crime of taking the life of somebody else, and it should be punished seriously. Thank you for being with us on the program. These are serious matters for serious times. We've got to let the Bible speak clearly. And as I close the last program, we should never support anyone who is not biblical in their thinking on these matters. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.